Blog Talk Radio.
She'll be sharing with us on thoughts on the 23rd Psalm. We know that life is one of those things that can really get you down. We hear almost daily about people deciding to kill groups of people and themselves for a thought of what they feel religion is all about. Life will test you from your first breath until you take your last. The real test of life is, in how you establish your priorities. If your life is all about having fun and taking care of number one, you have missed living. The only real life you can have is in Jesus. This one scripture has more about life in it than something that you would memorize as a child in Bible school. Nothing here demands us to throw away the gift of life we have been blessed with or to take this gift from others. This scripture makes it clear that there is a relationship available to all, a relationship between you and God if you want it. It's no surprise that relationships in life change our priorities. Ask any married person about this process of priority, and they'll tell you how life becomes more about others than it is about yourself. We look forward to hearing from Sister Lively tonight on this scripture, and we know that you'll be blessed. So take it away, Blog Talk Mom.
Well, thank you very much, and I want to give honor to you and to Wild Bill and to the one that originated everything, little Sister Joy Bell, and give honor to the wonderful shepherd that we're going to talk about some this evening. We had prayer meeting this morning. Everybody laid hands on the notes that we had. I had 90-something pages. I don't know. It was 70-something for a while. Several weeks ago, I don't even really remember how I got into studying. Yes, I do, too. It's a book, A Shepherd. It looks at the 23rd Psalm. I believe it's exactly like that. A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm, and it's by Philip Keller. You can also get it on YouTube. You can listen to it if anybody wants to. It's excellent. And as different things that he brought out, then I began to study on my own. And just so many different ministers have Bible studies and sermons on the 23rd Psalm. And so when we get started, would you read the 23rd Psalm? It's 6 verses. And I think that it would be good. My bachelor's degree was in counseling, and the 23rd Psalm, I think Jorbel shared this with me also. If you want to give yourself a blessing, quote the 23rd Psalm every day, even more than once a day. And it's beautiful. I do the 23rd Psalm, the first thing when I wake up, and the Lord's Prayer. And many times, the Lord's Prayer and the 23rd Psalm will begin to mingle. It just like it goes together. And it's just beautiful and inspiring in such a cleansing way to start your day. So I highly, highly recommend it. For children, 6 verses, let them memorize it. And we'll, like I said, I have an awful lot of notes. So I prayed today and worked today to have an outline that would be sort of, I hope, make everybody want to get their Bibles and start studying it for themselves. So, Sister Starla, if you would you just read the 23rd Psalm, please?
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
That's beautiful. And if you'll be looking up 2 Timothy 3:16, I'd like to mention that this, naturally, we know that this is the Psalm of David, and David wrote most of the Psalms or the songs that are in the book of Psalms in the Bible. And that's awesome, but it is the Word of God. God used different vessels. When Moses wrote the first 5 books Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Moses wasn't here when God said, let there be light, and there was light. The inspiration, or God breathing upon the Word of God, makes it so that you can read a scripture and read a scripture and over and over and over and get something deep and new and fresh every time, because the Word of God is alive. So, Sister Starla, if you'll read 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter and the 16th verse.
All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness.
So all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And when David wrote the psalm, the 23rd psalm, he was inspired. And it is beautiful to know that he was a shepherd, that he was in the very beginning of his life, he was a shepherd. And shepherds were very, usually poor, and it was not something that would be a lot of accolades for. But so he was definitely writing from his own experience, and you feel that when you read the 23rd Psalm. But even more so, as we get into the study of it and realize the Lord is my shepherd. Now, I heard a lady preach, teach, and I use this, shared it Sunday morning. If you hold your hand up, hold your left hand up, just everybody that's listening, hold your hand, left hand up like you're going to give somebody high five, you know, your palm is away from you. Take your other hand and then point to your thumb, and then go on, Lord is my shepherd. Now, in a world that homes are destroyed, broken up, lives are broken, children are scattered, whatever. The Lord is my, and I told everybody, put your hand around that finger. So they call it the ring finger, because it's supposed to be with marriage and whatever. But with so much heartache, the Lord is my shepherd. He said he would never leave me. He would never forsake me. Me. And you can say that for yourself. David wasn't saying the Lord is our shepherd, and that's great. But he is a personal, loving, together God that says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And a world that is so hurting can reach up and take hold of those nail-scarred hands and know that that shepherd laid down his life so that we could have life, so that we could follow him. And so I want us to pray. Lord, I just bring these scriptures. Lord, you know how many different directions that I've gone in this. So I ask you, Lord, to draw by your spirit and your anointing, and that anyone and everyone that would listen to this would be encouraged to know that you are their shepherd if they will choose to be your sheep. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Sister Stoddard, will you read 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter, and verse 25, please? And she looks these scriptures up. I do so appreciate her for doing that, because it makes it a whole lot easier for me to follow along also. And I want us to see that we're going in a few minutes to get right into each verse of the 23rd Psalm. But this is sort of like a foundation. First Peter, the 2nd chapter, verse 25.
For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls.
We were sheep going astray. Do you realize what he's saying there? A sheep is the most defenseless little critter that ever was. And all of the books that I read and the stories that I read, they all came up with the same word for sheep, and that was stupid. They it sounds sort of mean, but they will. There was one incident where this little Pekingese jumped out of a truck that was where the sheep were, and 400 sheep ran to their death. They followed one sheep that started over a cliff, and then all four, they just one right after another, ran to their death. They will panic. They will just scatter every which direction. They have different kinds of pests that, like if a fly that can lay a larva in their nose, and it can really lead to death. So a fly starts buzzing around their head, and they start slamming their head as hard as they can against the ground and run and turn circles. And then if that doesn't work, they run into a big sticker bush, which gets all kinds of stickers in their wool. But then the beauty of that is the shepherd comes to them, and he knows how to shear them off and take all of that dirty wool that's got, by that time they've used the bathroom on themselves, they're just really panicked up, and he shears them, and he takes care of them because he loves them. And I've been there when God had to shear me pretty close. You know, I got pretty rowdy, and I thank God, just like this scripture, I was a long way from the shepherd, a long way, and going the other direction. And I'm so thankful that God in his mercy kept after me and brought me back to him and gave me that choice. All day today, it seems like, you know, I can't sing on the program. I know y'all are happy about that. But the words to different songs have just stood out to me. There's a song called If That Isn't Love. He left the splendor of heaven knowing his destiny. It was the lonely hill of Golgotha, there to lay down his life for me. He's the good shepherd. He died for us. I mean, he did that because he loves us. And I just want to interject here. A lot of times we have different beliefs about Christmas and whether we should or whether we shouldn't, whatever. You know, but this week when I was studying about the shepherd, and I realized that when the angels came to the shepherds that were out with their sheep, and they say that shepherds don't smell all that good when they're out there, when they're, you know, with the sheep, taking care of them. And the sheep are pretty rowdy, too. And then yet the angels didn't come to the king's house. They didn't come to a palace. They came to the shepherds. And then when they came to Jesus, there was the little Lamb of God lying in that little, I don't know if it was ugly. I don't know how well they could clean it up or whatever. But it sure wasn't a baby bed. It sure wasn't, you know, a big layette or anything like that. It was the most humble beginning that Almighty God could become the Lamb of God that would be the shepherd of the whole world and give his life. Oh, there's so much more I want to share about that, but I'll finish this song. Even in death, he remembered the thief hanging by his side. He spoke with love and compassion. Then he took him to paradise. If that isn't love, the ocean is dry. There's no stars in the sky. And the sparrow can't fly. If that isn't love, then heaven's a myth. There's no feeling like this. If that isn't love. Oh, the love of God. The wonderful, wonderful love of God. And one of the ministers brought out something that I had not ever seen before. I do know that the Word of God, in studying it from year to years, that has, as I mentioned before, you can read it, and then you get like a deeper insight, and it's alive, and it begins to work with you. But I didn't know this. If you go to the 22nd, you got Psalms 22, Psalms 23, and Psalms 24. So we're going to go to Psalms 22, and we're going to read, if you will, you don't have to read the whole thing. It's verse 1, Sister Star, it'll be Psalms 22, verse 1. Now, this is the Old Testament. This is David. He's writing Psalms 22. And listen to him as he describes the Roman crucifixion. Jews, they were stoned. There was no Roman crucifixion then. But under the inspiration of God, if we'll read Psalms 22, verse 1, 7, 14, and 18, 22, and 28. And do you have those written down, or do you want me to call them off each time, Sister Starla?
No, I've got them written down.
in order. Okay, go ahead, please.
Yes. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lips. They shake the head, saying, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations.
Is that all of them? The first 28,
yeah,
right?
That's all.
Now, if someone would want to read the whole thing, they would get even more out of it. But for brevity tonight, we picked out these to let you see the graphic description of the crucifixion. And even we didn't know till I don't know how many years ago that the way the heart melts, the dehydration, whatever. And this is written in this psalm. And so here you have here in Psalms 22 the description of the crucifixion, and then he goes to Psalms 23. And here's the shepherd, because of all that he had done on this earth, and then because he came out of the tomb victorious, then he is our shepherd to lead us. Now, we use the 23rd Psalm, and it's beautiful for comfort in funerals and anything pertaining to grief. But even as you mentioned earlier, it's about life also. As strongly about comfort for grief, it is about life. We live with him. He lives in us. He lives around us. He is on the right, the left, front, back, over me, under me, living inside. And I like to say that every day. Lord, you're on the right, the left, front, back, over me, under me, and you're living inside. And I love that. And then if you go to Psalms 24, and it forms I think it's a trilogy or trilogy. And that means it's a group. It has to have all three to really see the beauty of what is being said here. And if you would, Sister Charlotte, read the entire Psalms 24.
The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory.
Now we know that he's the King of glory. He stands at the door and he knocks. If we will open up, he will come and dwell within us. That we read it in the book of Acts. We read when he told all of his disciples, he said, you go to Jerusalem, go there and wait and tarry there. And they did. And on the day of Pentecost, there was a sound of a mighty rushing wind. Same as the breathing of God, the inspiration that breathes upon the Word of God. And God came and filled each of them, and they were baptized in his name, filled with his Spirit, spoke in tongues when the Holy Ghost came. This is for all of us. It is available. It is ours. It is God's plan. He is the Lamb of God. He is worthy of all of our praise. He's saying, obey, open up, let him in. And he stands at the door this very moment. There was another song that the Lord led me to, and I want to read some of the words. There's no problem too big. He cannot solve it. There's no mountain too tall. He cannot move it. There's no storm too dark. God cannot calm it. There is no sorrow too deep. He cannot soothe it. The beauty of that is that when he is first and he dwells within us and we choose to let him be our shepherd, then we, little stupid sheep, I say that like that. I don't like that word that much. But if we will come to him, he will lead and guide and watch over and protect. This is his desire to do that. And the rest of it said, if he carried the weight of the world upon his shoulders, I know, my brother, he could carry you. If he carried the weight of the world upon his shoulders, I know, my sister, he will carry you. There's no life gone too wrong that God cannot right it. There's no valley too dark that God cannot light it. There is no void too deep that God cannot fill it. There's no sickness too great that God cannot heal it. He said, come unto him, all who are weary, and he will give us rest. I love that. I wasn't planning on doing that. It seemed like just at the last minute, the Lord led me to these songs I was playing and singing earlier and just got a really, really good blessing. There was a story. When I first read the book and started taking notes, I wanted to do and may at some point do what I call a GMC class. It's Grace and Mercy class. And I just think it would be so great for everybody, old, young, and any group to realize that is in this psalm, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. Goodness and mercy. And what does that mean? And what does that entitle us to? And as it comes down from God to us, in us, and through us, and follows after us, then it leaves light for all of those in darkness to walk in that light. The light of God shines through us. The goodness, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Oh, I love that. And that's just the way it is. And when that goodness comes to us and through us and around us, then we can affect the entire world for him. But it's seeking him first. It's choosing to walk with him and being his sheep. And some of the little sheep, they call them gadabouts, I think. They like to get right along the fence line, get just as close to getting away as they can. And there was a story told to me years and years ago in sermons about the shepherd would find a little sheep that was, you know, the story where he leaves the 99 and goes for that one little lost sheep. And he would take that sheep, and when he'd get the lamb, whatever, and when he would get it, he would take the rod that he carried, the rod and staff, and he would break that little lamb's leg, and then he would carry the lamb until it healed, and it would make that bond between him, the shepherd, and the sheep. Well, that's not true. That story is not true at all. It might be sentimental, it might be whatever. And we do see pictures of Jesus carrying the lamb. That would be in a case where the lamb was in danger, maybe the mother had died or whatever, and he's carrying that lamb because it needs him. But the word that they've used and they've misconstrued is the word break. The shepherd doesn't break the lamb. He, B-R-A-K-E, he breaks the lamb. He puts a little weight on one of his legs, and somehow that gives the lamb a desire to get as close to the shepherd as he can. He feels, uneasy, and I tell you what, God put a break on me several hundred times. And I tell you, when the break came on, I wanted to say, Jesus, whatever you have to do to me, I want to be saved. And you know, whatever. I don't particularly like that. But God will stop us in our tracks, and he will put a break. That was told to me, I could see the little lamb after he'd been brought back and they put the weight on one of his legs, and so it was like a break, B-R-A-K-E. Then he wanted to be close to that rod and that staff, not the rod necessarily, because the rod is a something that they protect him with, but the staff is something that they guide the little lamb, sheep, ewe, whatever, and they can put the hook and pull them back if they're about to fall or something, get in the water, be hurt in some way, or guide them so that they know when to make a turn. And we'll get into that if we have time on how he prepares a way before the sheep. But realize that God is not a vicious God. Anything, any correction that he brings to us is 100% for our ultimate good for all eternity. And that is because we're sheep, that we're sort of stupid about recognizing that. But when we do, and we go to the Word of God, and we allow God to be on the right, the left, front, back, over, under, living inside, when we let 22, 23, and 24 Psalm become real to us, when he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He hung on the cross for you, for me, and the Lord is my shepherd. Say that over and over and over. The Lord is my shepherd, my shepherd. Oh, hallelujah. There was a story. I want to read it real quickly. There was this is an actual true story. There was a mayor in New York, and he went to a night court in the poorest ward of the city. And he dismissed the judge for the evening, and he took over the bench. Well, that night there was a tattered woman charged with stealing a loaf of bread. She was brought before him, and she defended herself by saying, "My daughter's husband has deserted her. She is sick, and her children are starving." The shopkeeper refused to drop the charges. "It's a bad neighborhood, Your Honor, and she's got to be punished to teach other people a lesson." Well, the mayor said, he turned to the old woman and he said, "I've got to punish you. The law makes no exception. $10 or 10 days in jail." However, even while pronouncing sentence, the mayor reached into his pocket, took out a $10 bill, and threw it into his hat with these famous words, "Here's the $10 fine which I now remit, and furthermore, I'm going to fine everyone in this courtroom," I love it, 50 cents for living in a town where a person has to steal bread so that her grandchildren can eat. So when they collected the fines and gave them to the defendant, she had $47.50. And she was sort of bewildered because she had done that. But that's the way it is with us. We're sort of bewildered. We've done some pretty rotten things, and we've all got a reason for why we did it. You know, we were a victim, whatever. But God is much more benevolent than this mayor, and that he came, he lived, and he died. He rose again. And he's coming back for a church that has made themselves ready and have walked with him. So I thought that was just a really neat story. In the General Motors. Goodness and Mercy. General Motors. I guess because that's GM. The Goodness and Mercy. I've looked up each word, taking each verse. If you take the word Lord, the Lord is my shepherd, then you've got it goes into so many. I had like pages and pages of scriptures in the Old Testament and the New that what that means, that he is the Lord of all things, and we are not to have any kind of idol or to give our allegiance to anything but him. He is Lord. Jehovah of the Old Testament, Jesus of the New Testament, Lord, and being Jesus gives us the entitlement of his name to use it. He's shepherd, means he's our leader. He's our guide, our keeper. He gives us a pastor, protector. He's our healer. I shall not want refers to each of us. Shall not want means we will lack nothing. Also, in case I don't get a chance to get around to it, we think of, I don't know about you, but I can go in the store and I can look at the, particularly like Butterfinger candy bars, and I might like want to have one of them. And, you know, I might look over and I might want something else. And then, you know, you can want a lot of things. And he's not really saying what the beauty of it is. He's saying that if you put him first and if you let him supply your need, my need, then I won't be a wanting person, always wanting. We look at the world now where people are so unfaithful. They're involved in pornography and they're wanting something perverted or just so sick. And even now we see it reaching out into smaller children. This perversion. But God is saying if we follow him and if he is the Lord, we won't want those things because we'll be filled with him. And he is holy and he is good and he is God. But we will lack nothing as far as that doesn't mean, you know, I think we've so taken that out of context till we've lost the beauty of it. It, you know, like why I can have Cadillac or whatever, you know, that type of just material things. He maketh me to lie down. This means to rest, to repose, to recline. And in green pastures, it's a home, a place, it's a fold, a refreshing place safe from hunger or danger. And I know that can be in this world, but that green pasture that I'm longing for is that one where he is. And in heaven forever. But in this world, we do have God as our protector. He leadeth me beside, means he guides, he directs in a gentle, flowing direction. The still waters, it's consoling, it's quiet, it's free from floods and poisonous liquids and rapid, dangerous places. Because the little sheep, if they get close to something like that and the water gets hold of their wool, it throws them in there, and then the wool is so heavy they drown. He restores my soul, restores to joy and peace, comforting. He retrieves us. He rescues us. I love that. We'll get into that in a minute. He leadeth me in paths. That means he bestows upon us a path that we can walk in. This path is righteousness. It's altogether moral and prosperous for our body, soul, and spirit. It's for his name's sake. His name. You know, when the people would look at the sheep, some of the sheep, and they looked really ratty, really bad, they'd say, oh, that flock must have a really sorry shepherd. Now, wouldn't that be a shame that with all that God has done for us, and all the redeeming, and all of the glory and the blessing, blessed are ye, over and over and over, that we would live a life that someone would not want to glorify God by saying we're one of his sheep. I never saw that quite like that. But when we go astray and we do things so contrary to what the Word of God has taught us to do, then we're not bringing glory to God. We're bringing reproach to his name. It's for his name's sake, the name of God, for honor to bestow on him, authority, for his character and his position. And then, yea, though I walk, we travel, we go forward. You ever study about walking? You put one foot in front of the other, and you have to leave the weight from the back foot to go to the front foot, and some that takes trust. We must trust as we walk with the Lord. Through the valley, it's an area of low land between hills or mountains, a low period point or a level. And I was, I didn't ever really realize this till I looked it up, but there's six or seven valleys in the Israel area. And when David, the one that was inspired to write this psalm, when he was a young boy, when he came to bring some things to his brothers, they were on this one mountain, and the Philistines were on another mountain, and every day there would be this giant that would come down into the valley. He would come down and he would begin to slur all of the Israelites. Everything he could say, he slurred them. And little David, he said, "What's the deal here? Why are y'all allowing this man to do this?" Or whatever, the exact words. But you can read it in the Word of God. And so day after day, and David finally persuaded them to let him go down into that valley. Yea, though he walked into that valley of death, he didn't fear any evil, because he said, "I come to you in the name of the Lord." And he did. And he slew that giant. We've got giants that come up against us, giants of all financial, heartbreaking, emotional. But yea, though we walk through that valley, we will fear no evil. For God, he strengthens us. He defeats our enemies. He's already defeated them. And it goes on to say he prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. It doesn't matter if it's a natural enemy, a supernatural enemy, a demonic enemy, whatever it is. When God prepares a table, I mean, it's a table. Everything about it is wonderful. Now, that's in the natural, if you thought of a big feast, a big festivity type thing. But also, when those little sheep have to walk through a valley area, a good shepherd goes before them, and he pulls out everything, every kind of, there's a white camas, I think, is a flower that would kill them. Any type of thing, any rodent, anything that would hurt these sheep, he goes ahead of them and he gets rid of it. And then the rodents and the wolves and all of that around that look down on the little sheep, they see that shepherd, and the shepherd puts the fear in them that they do not attack the sheep unless there's a sheep that wanders away from the shepherd. Either way you look at this scripture, the Lord prepares a table before us in the very presence of our enemies. Our cup runs over, overflowing. If we walk with God and he's on the right, left, front, back, goodness and mercy is flowing, then it's going to flow over to those around us. And they're going to see the love of God and feel the love of God and witness what God has done for us. I love that. Okay. That was a shadow. Was it? Now, if for any shadow, there's got to be light. So if it's a block, it's just a shadow. And we know that we all will face death unless we go in the rapture, which I'm definitely praying about. We'd love to do that. But in all of that, he says, "I will fear no evil. I will not be afraid of the unknown. I will not dread calamity. I will not dread affliction. I will not dread or fear adversity or misery." 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." Who did? The shepherd. Who's the shepherd? God. "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." He says, "For thou art with me," and it means I am most definitely assured that the Lord's scepter and authority and presence is absolutely with me, and it is mine to fight for me and correct me. We want God to fight for us, and we want him to correct us and keep us where we should be. Hebrews 13:5, "Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content." And the Lord has really been dealing with me on contentment. Godliness with contentment is great gain. "Be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Hebrews 13:6, "So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." John 14:26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Thy rod and thy staff, it supports, it sustains, and the scepter means that he is the King of kings. They comfort me, they avenge me, console me, and they are compassionate." John 15, 13, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And he did. He said, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. In Revelation, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. There's another situation where it talks about anointing the little sheep, and if they mentioned about the flies, and when that other, that not only flies, but the insects can get in their eyes and their nose and lead to their death, the shepherd will take the oil and he'll put it all around and rub it in all around their mouth and their ears, all around, and that completely keeps the insects away. And the oil in the Bible, if there's any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, anointing with oil. The oil represents the Holy Ghost. It represents the Spirit of God. It represents the anointing. And when we go through things and things start attacking us and troubling our minds and pulling us away, we can come to him and say, Lord, anoint me. Anoint me with that fresh oil. Do a work in me now, Lord, like you want to do. You want to refresh me. You want to restore me. You want me to be, you know, it all messed up in the garden. You know, it all messed up. And Jesus brought it all back. I mean, he made it right. So we want to be sure that we honor that and honor him and walk in it in obedience to him. Now, I have talked a long time. Did you want to say anything or does anybody want to say anything?
Well, I think it's just wonderful. Anybody want to say anything, just put your push one on your phone. That'll let me know that you're wanting to join the conversation.
Well, back to the...
Keep it going.
Okay. Back to the anointing. I know, like today, I had a wonderful prayer meeting this morning, and I was singing to the Lord and just really, you know, was feeling, but towards the end of the evening, I was becoming tired. And Joy Bells texted me, and she just said she loved me. And I felt a lift, just an absolute lift. And that's what love will do. If we allow God to love through us, it'll change the whole world. And this, thou anointest my head with oil, he accepts and anoints the ashes. Now, the Bible says that he will give us beauty for the ashes of our life. This is what he can do. He can give us a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. And he can take all of the yokes and everything that gets us bound down and break them. And that is his plan for our life. 1 Corinthians 14 and 15, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. And I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit. Now, it's talking about the anointing. It's talking about the Spirit of God joining. You know, we've all seen and felt the difference of when we're in our own strength and when we're in the strength of the anointing. I will sing with the understanding also. And it says in Jude, but ye beloved, build up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. I love that. Sometimes, the Bible says we don't know how to pray. We should. And so God gives us his anointing and comes along and helps us. He said, my cup runneth over. One of the ministers that I listened to said that over in the area of, I guess, if it was Israel, I didn't catch what it was, but they did prepare a big feast, and it's custom if you go to their house and they prepare a feast that there's a lot involved as far as honoring you. They honor their guests. And if you put your hands out, they pour something over your hands. And it's just like pouring in your cup and your cup running over, like that's some big honor. I don't know if I would be all that comfortable with that. But that's what he's referring to. My portion is more than enough. It's more than enough. I'm always satisfied. Now, am I always satisfied if God is not my shepherd? The Lord said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the other things will be added. So if we go seeking all the other things, we will never be satisfied, ever, ever. I mean, never. He will give us that satisfying portion if we let him be our shepherd. Surely goodness, in the widest sense, beauty, wealth, welfare, everything, love, everything, prosperity, surely goodness. Now you say, well, I don't have $1 million and, you know, my foot's sore and whatever. This is in a realm that we're going to suffer in this life. There is going to be suffering. People die. They lose their loved ones. There was a horrible accident happened here just this week. Just dreadful, seemingly senseless. But that if we focus on that, we will be totally. There is something about always questioning. But if we trust that, Lord, just like Job said, though God slay me, yet I trust him. I shall then come forth as gold. The things that came against Job were not because he had done anything wrong. He was a sheep following as close as you could follow. There's a warfare, and there's things that go on in this life that we do not understand, but we can put our hand in his hand and trust him that he will never put more on us, ever more on us, than we can bear. But with every temptation, he will make a way of escape. That is a promise, and that's from the shepherd. Psalm 78, 52 through 55. But made his own people to go forth like sheep, and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. And he led them on safely, so that they feared not. But the sea overwhelmed their enemies. And he brought them to the border of his sanctuary, even to this mountain, which his right hand had purchased. He cast out the heathen also before them, and divided them an inheritance by line, and made the tribes of Israel to dwell in their tents. Now this is still in Psalm, but it's reflecting back to how God, as they were, he brought them forth like sheep, and he guided them in the wilderness. He guided them. He was with them. He never left them. And mercy, Ephesians 5:19, it's kindness and it's beauty. It's speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's beautiful. We just speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. There's two other songs that this one was, I guess, about the cup running over. I just looked and there it was. It's a familiar song. And it says, this world will try to satisfy the longing in your soul. Excuse me. You may search the wide world o'er, but you'll be just as before. You'll never find true satisfaction until you found the Lord, for only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Only he can change your heart and make you whole. He'll give you peace you never knew, sweet love and joy, and heaven too, because only Jesus can satisfy your soul. If you could have the fame and fortune, the wealth, all this world you could obtain, yet you have not Christ within you, your living here would be in vain. There'll be a time when death shall call you. Riches cannot help you then. So come to Jesus, for only He can satisfy. I love that song. Only Jesus can satisfy. Only the shepherd can take care of us and provide for us and keep us and watch over us in so many different ways. And some other scriptures that you had, did you have the ones in Isaiah 40? And there's six verses, I believe, or a little bit more than that. Isaiah 40, 11 through 13, 21 and 22, and also 25 through 31.
11 through 13. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou that seek them and shall not find them, even them that contend with thee, they that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. And 21 and 22.
Yes.
Produce your cause, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, saith the King of Jacob. Let them bring them forth and show us what shall happen. Let them show the former things what they be, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them, or declare us things for to come. And 25 and 31.
Yes, yes.
I have raised up one from the north, and he shall come. From the rising of the sun shall he call upon my name, and he shall call upon princes as upon mortar, and as the potter treadeth clay. Who hath declared from the beginning that we may know, and before time that we may say, he is righteous? Yea, there is none that showeth. Yea, there is none that declareth. Yea, there is none that heareth your words. The first shall say to Zion, behold, behold them. And I will give to Jerusalem one that bringeth good tidings. For I beheld, and there was no man, even among them there was no counselor, that when I asked of them could answer a word. Behold, they are all vanity. Their works are nothing. Their molten images are wind and confusion.
Okay. Now this in Isaiah,
I
love Isaiah. That's okay. Those were good. Isaiah saw the suffering Messiah. He's wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we were healed. And it put in this one area, it said, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Isn't that beautiful? But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. That is beautiful. And there's several scriptures here in John. John, in the 10th, it's all in the 10th chapter, but there's different scriptures. If I can see. Do you have them? It's, I think, John 10. Okay.
1 through 5.
I have.
Is that what you want?
I don't think I put the scriptures down. There's one John 10, verse 11, and then John 10, verse 9. So you could just read 9 through 11, I think.
Okay, 9 through 11.
Yes.
I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep.
I love that. You could just almost read that again. That is really good. You don't mind?
9-11?
Yes, please.
I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep.
Is that not beautiful? I mean, he couldn't say it any plainer. You know, that he is our provision, he's our peace, our protection, he guides us through the things that we don't understand. He's a presence with us. He's the promise of paradise, you know, like the thief on the cross. We have that waiting for us, that all things will work together for our good. I mean, that's not a maybe, that is. Sometimes in the hurt and the pain of this life or discouragement, you think, how could this be? But we have that security in the shepherd that it will work for our good. Absolutely. There's one scripture that said that David knew that God was beneath him with green pastures. He was beside him with still waters. He was before him at the table. He was behind him with goodness and mercy, beyond him preparing him a home, and with him as a good shepherd. I thought that was excellent. He's beneath, beside, here we go, right, left, front, back. That was just very, very good. One of the words that has always stood out to me in the Bible is the word reconcile. Reconcile is when you take something, two things, like what happened in the garden and then what happened when Jesus rose from the dead and then what happens when he comes back. God reconciles everything. In Colossians 1:20 and 21:20, I want to read these. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet the shepherd. Now, I didn't say shepherd there, but yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. The message of reconciliation. I love that. He has reconciled all things to himself. He is the shepherd of our souls. Acts 8:32, the place of the scripture which you read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. Now the God of peace, Hebrews, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. And then you read 1 Peter 2:25. That's very, very good. And is anyone else wanting to say something?
No, I think it's all yours.
There was a story. I think it's a neat little story. It's, you know, sometimes we so hold on. We just, we want things. And he said, I shall not want. That means that we're not going to lack anything, but we're also going to be free from always wanting things. This is called the pearl necklace. The cheerful girl with bouncy golden curls was almost 5. Waiting with her mother at the checkout stand, she saw them. A circle of glistening white pearls in a pink foil box. Oh, please, Mommy, can I have them? Please, Mommy, please. Quickly, the mother checked the back of the little foil box and then looked back into the pleading eyes of her little girl's upturned face. $1.95. That's almost $2. If you really want them, I'll think of some extra chores for you, and in no time, you can save enough money to buy them for yourself. Your birthday is only a week away, and you might get another crisp dollar bill from Grandma. As soon as Jenny got home, she emptied her piggy bank and counted out 17 pennies. After dinner, she did more than her share of chores, and she went to the neighbor and asked Mrs. James if she could pick dandelions for 10 cents. On her birthday, Grandma did give her another new dollar bill, and at last she had enough money to buy the necklace. Jenny loved her pearls. They made her feel dressed up and grown up. She wore them everywhere, Sunday school, kindergarten, even to bed. The only time she took them off was when she was swimming or had a bubble bath. Mother said, if they get wet, you might turn your neck green. Jenny had a very loving daddy, and every night when she was ready for bed, he would stop whatever he was doing, come upstairs to read her a story. One night, when he finished the story, he asked Jenny, do you love me? Oh, yes, Daddy, you know that I love you. Then give me your pearls. Oh, Daddy, not my pearls. But you can have Princess if you want to. The white horse is my collection. What about that, Daddy? That's okay, honey. Daddy loves you. Good night. And he brushed her cheek with a kiss. After a week later, after the story time, Jenny's daddy asked again, you love me? Daddy, you know I love you. Then give me your pearls. Oh, Daddy, not my pearls. You can have my baby doll, the brand new one I got for my birthday. She's so beautiful, and you can have the yellow blanket that matches her sleeper. That's okay. Sleep well. God bless you, little one. Daddy loves you. And as always, he brushed her cheek with a gentle kiss. A few nights later, when her daddy came in, Jenny was sitting on her bed with her legs crossed Indian style. As he came close, he noticed her chin was trembling, and one silent tear rolled down her cheeks. What is it, Jenny? What's the matter? Jenny didn't say anything but lifted her little hand up to her daddy. When she opened it, there was her little pearl necklace. With a little quiver, she said, here, Daddy, it's for you. With tears gathering in his own eyes, Jenny's kind daddy reached out with one hand to take the dime store necklace, and with the other hand, he reached into his pocket and pulled out a blue velvet case with a strand of genuine pearls and gave them to Jenny. He had them all the time. He was just waiting for her to give up the dime store stuff so he could give her genuine treasure. What are we hanging on to? What are we hanging on to? God is reaching for each and every one of us to surrender everything so that he can give us eternal things. And not to be broken and crushed at the things that come our way, but to recognize again, that all of these things will work together for our good. One of the things that the little sheep can get is called scab. It's a horrible disease, and it kills them. And I love to do acronyms, so SCAB, what the shepherd does, he shears the sheep all the way down to the skin, and he takes the oil, anoints all around its head and nose, ears. And then he picks it up, and it has to be done. You can't do it, spray it or whatever. He picks it up and dips it down, fully down into a vat. That's an antidote for this scab. And this is the acronym that the Lord gave me. When we see ourselves with self-pity, that's the S, we start really feeling sorry for ourselves. Poor, poor, pitiful me. And then we get confused. Do I really want to do this? Do I really want to go to church? Do I really want to pay my tithes? Do I really want to do what I'm supposed to do? Do I really want to dress? You know, we get confused. Why did God let this happen? I don't understand. There's a type of confusion. And then, A, we get appetites for the world, the flesh, and the devil. Seems like that looks pretty good. You know, well, maybe it won't hurt anything. Well, you know, I don't really have to worry about the devil. And then B, we get bitter. We don't let God take care of it, and so we get bitter inside. And we get the scab. Self-pity, confusion, appetites for the world, flesh, and devil, and bitterness. And you know what? The scab is the most contagious thing that the sheep can get. If one of them gets it and it's not taken care of, it can make the whole flock of sheep with it. And so can these attitudes, and so can the way that we approach life. If we get all caught up, that doesn't mean that we have to suppress our feelings. Be real, but bring them to the shepherd. And know that he has a rod and he has a staff. He has his blood. He has his resurrecting power. He has his anointing. That the blood of Jesus can wash us absolutely pure and clean. And it will be as white as snow. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow, says the Lord. So I have pretty much taken all the time up, Sister Starlet. Does anybody want to say anything?
Oh, that was amazing. That was so good. I so enjoyed that.
Well, I appreciate that. Well, Jorbell's had something to share. Is she not? You don't have your hand up?
Jorbell, I'm going to turn your mic on, and if you want to talk, you know, sometimes you say you can't hear. Your mic is on if you want to share something. Well, Bill's listening, but I don't think he's able to see anything. He's getting ready for work. Well, I guess it's just us.
Well, I'll say what she had called, or text rather, and the little peppermint stick, you know how it curves over? It's like the staff, that the little shepherd's staff.
Okay.
I never realized that before. I thought that was so good. There's another part here that I had that I didn't think we would have time. Well, are we out of time?
Almost. You've got a few more minutes.
The sheep do have particular kinds of behavior, and that we do seem to follow. Well, not seem to. We definitely follow in those same patterns. But their eyes, they can see all around, but they can't see depth-wise. And, you know, sometimes we can see everybody else's problems. You know, everything else is going on wrong, but we don't see straight ahead to where we're supposed, you know, focus on where we're supposed to be going in a situation. And I thought that was interesting. And because I sometimes get really sidetracked by any and everything rather than keep my eye on the shepherd. There's a group of scriptures that, oh, I've had them for years, and it says it's not what you are that holds you back; it's what you think you're not. And do you think that you're not smart enough, pure enough, strong enough, or talented enough? God says, when you say it's impossible, He says all things are possible. We want to hear the shepherd's voice. That was one of the most exciting things about it. My sheep know my voice, what the Bible says. And all the sheep can get all mixed up with other sheep. But when the shepherd whistles or says it makes a certain sound, they all pull away that belong to that shepherd and they follow him. And Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. When we say, oh, I'm just too tired, God says, I'll give you rest in Matthew. When I say, oh, nobody really loves me, God says, I love you. In the book of John, you get to the place you think, I can't go on. God says, my grace is sufficient. 2 Corinthians 12 and 9. You say, I just can't figure things out. And God says, I'll direct your steps. I'm your shepherd. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You say, I just can't do it. Again, God says, you can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth you. You think you're not able? God says he's able. You say it's not worth it? God says it will be worth it. You will dwell with me forever and ever. That's worth any and everything that we walk through. You say, I'm afraid. Again, we read the scripture. God hasn't given us the spirit of fear. You say, I'm just not smart enough. God says, I'll give you wisdom. He gives us gifts. You know, we love to use gift cards. Well, God gave us the gift of wisdom, knowledge, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, tongues, interpretation of tongues, miracles, healing. These are gifts that God wants us to use. And he will never leave us, and he will never forsake us. And that's all, but I thought sure that somebody would call in.
Well, that was amazing. I just really enjoyed that. I appreciate all your work in it.
It's been really exciting, and I cannot tell you how much I appreciate you and Wild Bill for the working as hard as you do and putting the program on. It means, you know, I had Walking Through the Land of Promise for 6 or 8 years, and radio ministry is my favorite thing of all that I've ever done because you don't have to face anybody.
Well, I so enjoyed it. And, well, Bill said that we have an end song. I'm looking for it. Well, I'm glad you finally got to share with us everything that God's given you with that. That sure was awesome.
It is really not everything. I had 90-something pages, just like, you know, when he said he makes me lie down in green pasture, sheep won't lie down. They won't. And if they do, you know where the scripture where David said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? If they'll find a low spot and they lay down, then when they stretch, you know, the land will stretch, he rolls over on his back, or she, and then they can't get back up. And if the shepherd isn't there, they die. It's really weird. So he has to go and pick them up, massage their little legs, and you know, get them back up on their feet. And he said we're like sheep. You know, sometimes we get cast down, and that's what that's called. A sheep get when it's cast, but he wants to come and pick us up. He knows we can't get up by ourselves, but he's there. He's always there. And they won't really rest, but he can make them lie down in a certain way, and then they're calm. He picks out a place where, you know, there won't be any social friction, because they do sort of fight each other sometimes. I wonder if that's like us, too. But anyway, I'm just keeping on talking, and
yeah.
Thank you again so very much.
Well, we so were honored and delighted that you could share that with us. And we want to thank everyone for joining with us. And we're going to play this song for you before we go. Nothing is impossible.
there's nothing impossible.
Well, we want to thank everybody for listening. I pray that this show blessed you as it did me, and the song that Wild Bill chose for our ending song. Blog Talk Mom, thank you so much. We so do appreciate and love you.
I love y'all. I appreciate the privilege of rather hear Wild Bill preach, but whatever. I love it.
Well, we'll see y'all here next week at your place. Good night.